Welcome to the Clarity Quest podcast. This is the first edition. With me today is a freelance writer from Great Britain. His name is Morris Herman. He's been interviewed by Press TV. Currently, Mr. Herman's YouTube account, 108Morris108, is rated number 65, most viewed today. Today being January 30th, 2011, in the United Kingdom. His YouTube channel is number 45 most viewed this month. He has 119 episodes, over 719,000 views. His YouTube channel has nearly 1,400 subscribers. His YouTube channel is very thought-provoking, and people really like to comment on his videos, and I must say that they're some of the best YouTubes that I've seen. He seems to have a broad knowledge, real general understanding of what's going on in the world, and I really thought that it would be really interesting to have a chat with him today. Mr. Herman, thank you for joining me on my podcast.
Oh, look, I'm very, very pleased to be here with you tonight. I look forward to what we cover.
What we've been seeing is a sort of a legalized plundering of our society through these governments and these networks of criminality. We've seen some felony crimes taking place. One of those, not least of which, is 9/11. I would just like to have your views on something that I proposed to you earlier, which was the whole idea of taking this case, which has been proven in the court of public opinion by such men as Geraldo Rivera and Jesse Ventura on their TV shows. And am I saying that the court of public opinion is something that is something that we can count on, in the sense of having the same legal or almost legal standpoint with the public. How much weight do you think that has nowadays?
Well, you remind me of something I've read. Bertrand Russell apparently was heavily connected with the People's Tribunals, and they've been used in history. I'm not someone very knowledgeable on it, but it's as if people's committees gained legal power to judge and sentence other people. I think your question is about our ability to do just that. There are historical precedents. As for Jesse Ventura, etc., and others appearing on the networks with regard to 9/11, I think the powers that be have realized that the threshold has been crossed and that they're going to have another inquiry, that people no longer buy the official version. And I'm afraid they're still one step ahead of us in that they're probably going to pull the strings, allow the orchestration to go on. I don't imagine the networks could really reveal anything without a nod and a wink from the powers that be, such as my, if you like, conspiratorial take on their status, but they really are the establishment. They're the mouthpiece that keeps us all in check. I don't know. It seems that America's avoided all kind of jurisdiction from the World Court and human rights courts. I mean, in terms of getting justice seen to be done, I don't know that it will be through the normal legal channels. I think it's more likely to be on the streets, like it's happening in Egypt at the moment, if we really want to see any form of change. I hope I've answered you well enough and understood your question.
Let's talk about Egypt a little bit. What's your sense of what's going on?
Well, it's built up anger. I'm not saying anything so original there. Everyone is saying that, and it's certainly true. It's been going on for decades, and it's so blatant. And there was some article I read about the karmic value that, you know, through keeping all these Gazans hungry and destitute, it's kind of a karmic payback on the regime of Mubarak, because he really was a traitor to all by enforcing the embargo on Gaza. There's some talk at this point about El Baradei. He's become the focal figure of the opposition, and one wonders just how establishment-orientated he is. Obviously, he's very establishment-orientated, but nevertheless, anything's going to be an improvement on the old. But what a lot of us might not take into consideration is an age-old historical concept amongst Arabs, Muslims, of the Ummah, of one Arab nation. So regardless of the intricacies of who is rising to power and who isn't, we're also all aware that this is a revolution that's likely to spread throughout the Arab world, hopefully and possibly beyond that, but that within the Arab world are definite movements that they should be one nation. It was a dream of Saddam Hussein under the Ba'athist Party, and it's well embedded in Syria's Ba'athist Party, and throughout the Arabs, it's something that's like second nature to them. They've all
virus database has been updated.
I'm sorry. Go ahead. A little confused.
Well, I guess really I came to an end there, but it's called an Ummah. It's one Arab nation. It's a dream portrayed in the Quran. It's really seeing it on a macro level rather than a micro level to mention that and to bring it in. But look, will Mubarak succeed? No, he won't. He'll have to leave. But the remains of his regime might remain there, and Israel's cohorts within Egypt might remain in power for some time to come. You know, it still might last for months. It's hard to predict or to know. But it's Tunisia still going on. That was just a couple of weeks ago with a much smaller population. So it's going to take some time for this to settle. And the Muslim Brotherhood has been the enemy of Mubarak and for many years, and they've been imprisoned, and there was a article today on dozens of people found dead on the road near a prison, and one only hopes and prays they weren't just prisoners killed for being political dissidents. But in any case, the Muslim Brotherhood is backing Baradei at this moment, according to Press TV, and I guess people really want a peaceful outcome, but they also want rid of the exploitative nature of the whole American-Israeli apparatchik that has been installed upon Egypt. It's just an impoverishment not only to them, but to all of us in our own countries equally, in England, in America, and in their own way for the Israelis.
You bring up the point of how is this going to affect the Western world. Now, we've seen some demonstrations in Britain. We've yet to see really anything of substance here in the United States, and yet we know this is very possible to change, that this will happen eventually on a broad scale in the United States. We're facing a lot of the same social and financial pressures. I would like to avoid America going Tunisian or going Egyptian or going Greek or going Italian or Bulgarian or, Icelandic. I would like to avoid all maybe naively, but I'd like to avoid these confrontations and just somehow make a point from the legal standpoint that they have really forfeited their right to rule. Their rightful authority has been undermined by what has happened in the press, in the court of public opinion. And in fact, I've been sharing these TV shows that I mentioned, Geraldo Rivera and Jesse Ventura. These are available on the internet, and what I've been doing is I've been putting them on DVDs and handing them out to people and saying really kind of clearly that these are questions that are being raised in the public eye that need to be addressed. There's been something of a odious non-response from our civil authorities in this regard, because these are very serious felony accusations towards the organizations that have allowed this to happen within the government. It's a 100% certainty that 9/11 was a government conspiracy. And since these accusations have been made, you know, you and I think are on the same page. We would like to see this resolved peacefully, and we go on to more pleasurable experiences in life. We don't want to have to struggle with these people forever. We want to have a conclusion and go on with life. And I want it to happen really soon.
Yeah, me too. And you're speaking on behalf of the vast majority of people. It's just a complete insanity that's unfolded in front of us. Over, I don't know, it started in a way, 9/11 is the focus point, but obviously it must have started before that. But these people are mad. And, you know, America's at the forefront doing it all with all its troops all around the world, but it's being raped silly. No one cares about America, the people that are orchestrating these things. And it seems very telling that companies like Blackwater and Halliburton have relocated to the UAE. I mean, they're not even concerned with loyalty to America. It's a facade. And I must say the same is true in England. You know, if people really knew the reality of the way our politics are being played out, they would be rioting more than they are. As for a peaceful outcome, absolutely. But, you know, no one's going to listen. You might as well compare our rulers, our ruling elite, to what we've seen in Egypt and heard about in Tunisia. I mean, I really can't see any difference. And we see Mubarak clinging to power now, when obviously he's the most unpopular person. And I would say that's the same about our Wall Street and banksters that run our countries.
Well, it's a willful non-response. It's a stance of non-response.
Non-response, non-respect, not caring, no concern. Absolutely. It's as if they need to have the people impoverished. It's some criteria that they need to fulfill. Having said that, it's the fact that we have food on our tables that's keeping us well behaved. But it's getting more difficult. Our standard of livings are going down. I don't really see them listening to anything peaceful when their main concern is dominating foreign lands, and there is very costly concerns morally and financially, and there's nothing that can stop them. I mean, we hear about Obama this and President Obama that, but you're really looking at a homicidal, genocidal wars unfolding day by day, and, you know, and really we need to put it all in perspective. There is no legality anymore that's of any worth or respect.
Yeah, and kudos to you on your latest video that you published, the Jewish, I'm sorry, what was the name of your latest video, where you used a camera on you, and then you had a camera, like a split screen camera. I don't want to say a title that's not the one.
I'm looking up the title. I'm not ignoring you. I'm looking it up. It's London Failing in the Jewish Century.
Yes. Really well done. And I'll link to that video on this podcast so that folks can just click through and watch that video. You did a really, really good job.
Thank you.
You're right about the physical comfort as being a barrier to the action, the justifiable action of the people. And how they have, we've seen that their reaction has been to just take to the streets. whether there's a quarantine or prohibition by the government or not. They're just going to ignore the prohibitions of the government because that's the point. They're going to, you know, they're going to ignore the curfews and they're going to just be out there. But we can kind of count on that to happen as we enter this phase of economic meltdown. So I think that, you know, maybe 2011 will be the make or break year. So we can maybe count on that happening this year. So I think that maybe we should talk about the things that we will be doing as those actions are taking place, both here in America and in Britain. You know, we're both YouTubers. We both have the ability to publish DVDs and send them to people to communicate what is happening. Once people start opening their eyes and hearing what's going on, I mean, I don't know, do you give DVDs away with your video material on it?
Quite honestly, I've never done it, but not out of principle or logistics. I've just never had the need or the thought of doing it. But you just made me think that I guess everything caves in all at once regarding the status quo and the authorities' ability to sustain the system as it is. And it does seem that ideologically the powers that be are under stress now from all directions. Nature is also playing its hand with extreme weather and these mass dyings of animals. It feels as if everything's going to cascade and cave in at once. We've run to the end of an era, which doesn't quite offer hope and a solution, but we've got to think outside of the box and no longer within this framework that we've been geared towards of, well, I guess it's democracy and interest rates and borrowing and consumerism. I mean, perhaps no longer possible to continue.
There has been talk about turning off the internet and giving the president the power in this country to just turn a switch and turn off the internet. And I have the idea that if that is so, if we can't count on the internet, what's left to us? And I have a little laptop. I can burn DVDs. The cost of this media has gotten to be so low. I mean, it's 20 cents a DVD, a DVD-R, which is recordable. Which, you know, for $100 or for to get 100 blank DVDs, you pay $20. So all I'm saying is I know things are, you know, times are tough and, you know, we don't have much money, but we might be able to, you know, put together, say a 500 piece run of DVDs to communicate to people as they're gathering in these crowds. And it doesn't have to be, a big production, just a little paper sleeve with a DVD in there. And, they're very durable. They're not like the old VHS tapes where you would put a tape in there and it sometimes would get munched and destroyed. DVDs are very durable. They'll take a lot of abuse, a lot of playings. And
I'm a little cynical and skeptical to believe that at a time of switching off the internet, and I do totally believe they would do this without any hesitation whatsoever, flick a switch and turn off the internet. No arguments there. But I think, I don't know how popular DVDs would be at this time. I think there would be a semi-hysteria overwhelm activists and activist circles. And I can't imagine people sitting down and watching a DVD at that point in time. I think they'd be organizing demonstrations, resistance activities. Please tell me I'm wrong. I mean, we're guessing what the scenario would be like. I did look tonight for the first time at ham radio because that is something that might take off as well if the internet goes down. But that looks like a fair bit of investment and it might help in terms of withdrawal problems, you know, from the addiction of the internet. But it would really be a dark, dark moment when and if they switch off the internet. And it is a revolution. There's nothing more challenging to the authorities, in my mind, on the one hand, than the internet, but also there's nothing stronger in terms of our evolvement and evolution as a race and a species on the planet. It's remarkable what we've been able to achieve with it.
Well, I'm just thinking about the centering force aspect of it. I mean, from a sense of biological life and how things are organized, and the principle of crystallization, what we want to have happen here is the crystallization of some form of government that has as its basis of being the dispensation of justice and the avoidance of injustice, one that can never be accused of being wrongly placed because of the fact that its only reason to exist is to stamp out injustice. And I put out a lot of DVDs, and you may be right that, you know, the folks that I give these DVDs to, they, you know, maybe there's only a small percentage of them that watch it, but there are a lot of people that have been seriously misinformed. They're absolutely clueless about this. They think that America is just having a little economic downturn. They're listening to the media that things are going to turn around soon, that the economy is in fact improving, and if we go Tunisian on them, if we go Egyptian on them, people are going to be very confused. They're not going to know the reasons for this, where this is going. Least of all, how do we establish some sense of, like I say, a basis of government that's purpose is to rid society of injustice?
Well, I wonder how there can be justice and billionaires at the same time. I mean, I think it's an issue to consider. When we've got so much wealth within just such a small clique of people's hands, and they're actually known for orchestrating revolutions abroad, and they've all got political ambitions, and we all are aware of the corporate sponsorship of everything from political parties to the media. It might need to be tackled if we really want a system of justice. Now, Ron Paul does suggest kind of localized communities, less centralization. I think there is a solution. I'm not saying it's the right one, but it's one positive suggestion. I'm afraid because of the nature of our times, but I also think Islam is an option. The last thing I want to do is be devotional in any organized religion, but I do think it has a fair sense of justice in terms of how we should behave amongst each other, and it is critical of making money from money, which is maybe one of the largest roots of all of the ills we're witnessing now.
I think it's a fair assessment of Muslim culture. I really do.
Yeah, and the thing is, if you start to tackle society's ills like a patchwork with a Band-Aid, fixing this and fixing that, you run into enemies and you run into special interests, and it's going to be a very difficult procedure. But if you just take the Quran and say, look, here, it's all in here, and we just follow these rules, Sharia law, but again, I do voice my opposition to organized religion. That's nowhere I want to go. I don't want to start praying or being devoted to anyone. But I just like the laws. I would really think they're beautiful compared to what we have now.
Yeah, but I can't see that Muslim culture, I respect their stance as a religion and their reason for being. I don't think anybody should criticize religion as being bad per se, because its purpose is to connect people with God, and we need to protect that whole sort of mission that they have for themselves, while it's not always blaming them for all the ills of some of their followers. But we do need to have some civil authority to come in and to provide for the justice of the commonwealth of the people. And that's why I've proclaimed myself emperor, which I did about 10 years ago. Locally here, I don't think you know this about me, but I've led the parade through town on several occasions in full dress uniform. This was back in 2003, 2004 era, where we had George Bush as president, and wasn't quite so it wasn't taken quite so seriously at that time. The cultural climate was a little bit different than it is now, I had a cable access TV show that aired on a local public access channel, and what I would do is I would get on TV in full dress uniform and give people a civics lesson, hopefully, and tried to make it fun and light. It was initially a humor-oriented show. I did it for fun and did it for laughs, but then after 2011 happened, things started to get more serious, so I started taking
2001.
Yeah, I had to take on those issues, the serious issues, and so things have changed. Maybe some people still see me as, you know, kind of a comedian, but we're in a lot of trouble. So I've had to
we're in a lot of trouble, and our civil institutions have failed completely and totally, unfortunately. And so when you mention, you know, civic institutions, which is what I think you're wishing for, to help us and protect us and see us through a safe way of living together, that they have totally failed us. You know, half of them are just criminally run, I presume. I mean, fortunately, I've avoided going to prison, but I think people on the inside actually know more about the workings of our society than we do on the outside. I mean, it's just about hushing up people that are a problem half the time. I mean, it is completely criminally run, our societies, is the point I wish to make. Americans are being ripped off, and particularly, and sent off overseas to kill people, and all too often their innocents being killed. I mean, it's as dark as it can get.
I know, and how do I get away with this? It's a kind of a mystery. You know, maybe they just don't—they don't see me as a threat because I'm I don't have—I don't have my court yet. You know, I don't have how you have in Britain. You have your courts. You have your societies and your lords and ladies and so forth that makes up the court of the monarchy over there. I don't have such a court. I don't try and create one. So I'm not really a target. But what I'm trying to do here, I suppose, is to point out that I'm a member of society, just like I'm a member of the world society on the internet, just along with you and along with our brothers and sisters all over the world. And we're seeing this stuff happen in the court of public opinion. That is making some very serious felony charges towards people that are involved in our government, and you know I'd like to see things change in the perception of the public, and they are changing, and I know it really is kind of depressive, but if we can somehow gather this centering force as the people here go Tunisian on the civil government, that's, like you say, is becoming more and more a matter of public agreement and knowledge that there's some serious criminality going on, and it's not going to change unless the people demand that it changes, and we don't want to see anybody get hurt. We don't want to necessarily have to go Tunisian or Egyptian or Greek or Italian on them. You know, I'm just, you know, we're both kind of on the same page there, But we're media guys. We should have a strategy, media-wise, maybe.
I guess there's a tipping point where people, you know, do go as far as they've gone in Tunisia and Egypt, but we haven't got there. There isn't a lot of difference between us and them in some ways. As for the felony charges that you commented on, you know, there's actually far more serious. There's crimes against humanity. There's treason. There are some really despicable actions going on. Well, if we can spread the disgust into the public realm, we might not have to work very hard. And truly, you know, everyone knows the truth in their heart of hearts already. In their subconscious, everyone knows the truth already. No true leader, no type of leader can rise, which might be just as well that we're leaderless. I think that America could well break up. I'm just speculating, and I hope you and your viewers don't mind listening to some speculation.
No, go ahead. You know, speculate for a few moments here.
Sorry, let's play, you say. Well, you know, just let America split up, because it's just too humongously wrong in all regards. And, you know, our financial pyramids also need to be broken down. But, you know, if the states broke up, it would be excellent. You suddenly had 51 countries instead of one, and 51 different currencies, and already things are a bit more manageable. But right now, we've just got people like Monsanto running the U.S. government virtually, and total contempt for everyone. In the way that our food and health is programmed, everything is just commercial. And I think probably the Jewish culture has a lot of responsibility for that, you know, which is a separate subject.
I have my own currency that I developed, and I think it has a sound basis. It is based on these COMEX gold certificates. What has happened was these big companies like Goldman Sachs and JP Morgan and so forth had sold gold on the commodities exchange in Chicago. And so what they've done is they've sold, for every 100 ounces of gold that they've sold, they actually have about 1 ounce of gold in their possession. So they've floated these paper certificates out with that says it's gold, but there is no gold on hand. So my currency is based on these certificates, pooling these certificates together and issuing currency based on that. See, I think that the bankers have given us the key to sovereignty. It's just that we just have to take it. And I'm not actually asking their permission for this. I don't think that it's needed to ask their permission. It's just whether or not we have the moxie to step up and just take what's ours. And
I mean, you've gone quite progress in it. So it would take me some time to grasp and comprehend what you've done. I think it's magnificent that you thought it through and are thinking up alternatives to what we're living through now. Really, we need the banks to be outlawed and usury to be outlawed and seen as an enemy. And that's, you know, just means overthrowing everyone that's in power now. But it's just literally a pyramid system. It's a Ponzi scheme. And there's no end to the fraud that is just normal everyday procedure in terms of ripping everyone off. You know, if you can think of an alternative, great.
Hopefully the public will be on board with us and to see that fraud. It really is kind of an elitist concept, though, to take these gold certificates and pool them. together to have a gold-backed currency. I have another one, though, that's more of a people's currency, and it's based on work. It's based on labor. And the idea is to pay people for doing public service, pay them for 3 hours a week, a minimum, everyone's required to do 3 hours of public service every week. And for that, they're paid a sum of 30 krites, which is this new currency, labor-backed currency. That way we build a currency through labor, and you know, it's based on community service. And that's more of like a...
Well, I think...
More of a people's currency than the other, you know, kind of elitist gold-backed... not that it doesn't have its place, but the gold-backed currency would be used by what we would say, you know, the moneyed class, the people that have made investments and so forth.
Right. Yeah. You just reminded me of, I think, what Hitler did in the 1930s. He did something similar and created a currency with no interest rates and got Germany on its feet again, in fact, in a very short space of time. Are you familiar with any of his policies?
Yes. In fact, every time a government creates currency based on labor, it's interest-free, debt-free, the result is that the economy booms. Production and consumption both rise, and people's contentedness, it increases. Their satisfaction with the state of affairs increases every time this is done. There isn't a single exception to this. I mean, there have been failed currencies, mind you, but every time a government takes this same policy, it is demonstrable that the results are always good. Because the currency is just such a basic need for society to use as a marker for their labor and for goods, and to be able to exchange them effectively, that this always happens. And you know,
you need to outlaw the people in power now that are orchestrating our monetary system, because whatever system you find to substitute theirs, they will defraud and they will counterfeit. They will always be taxing everyone's efforts. They will find a way. They will forge the certificates or whatever is necessary. We've got a very serious problem here. And it's a whole culture and it's a whole army of people prepared to defraud us. Having said that, we need good ideas, and you have good ideas. But there are people lurking around that will ensure that nothing succeeds that can replace them. There were systems last century, in fact. I put it in another video, that they were interest-free, and the bankers made sure that they collapsed. But governments were using them for a period of time. It's Jesus and the moneylenders. It's the same story all over in our current times.
You know, as it happens, I have a way of making sure that counterfeits simply can't happen. There's new technology in this regard. A counterfeit prevention strip could be added to each note that would avoid counterfeits. It can be a specialized gold strip. You can even put in little RFID chips that are, you know, really small. You wouldn't even know that they're there. But the people that receive this money, whether it's a bank or a merchant, could have a small reader device that could verify its authenticity. And it could be made well known throughout the society that anyone caught counterfeiting this currency would have to face dire consequences. And from time to time, they might be required to produce their money to make sure that it is authentic. And if it isn't authentic, it's not necessary to, you know, brutalize the public and like, oh, well, you've got counterfeit currency. But we just want to know if there is a problem, where the problem is, and recognize that this is always a threat, and that we do find counterfeit bills in the public, then we know that there's a problem, and we begin to investigate the source and find out who the true source of the counterfeit currency is and deal with that effectively. This is kind of protest money. It is a reactionary currency based on, in some part, the loss of people's gold investments, which is no small thing. So anyone who's counterfeiting currency would be seen, you know, through the eyes of the public as another thief, another felon, who has taken upon themselves to steal more gold from the public yet again.
Yeah, I mean, you know, thinking it through and following your logic, I come back to the Quran, and I just keep trying to distinguish myself and say I'm not a practicing Muslim at all, not for a second, but it's the only hope. I mean, I was in a money-changing place just the other day, and there was a big sign there in English, and it was a respectable place, and it said, we are no longer accepting 500 euro notes. It's actually a huge note. It's like $700 in one note. Yeah. And it said in the sign, it said, we were doing this, and only 1 in 10 of them was legitimate, which is outrageous. You can be pretty sure that those notes made by the European Central Banks are designed not to be counterfeited. I mean, you know, a $700 note is no joke. But there you go. We need to really think this through. And it's really difficult because one keeps coming back to the Jewish issue inevitably. And there you run into really heavy, deep water. But that is the core. The core essence of our system is very Judaic, and it's not working anymore. You know, it needs to be tackled. Probably one needs to impose some biblical writings, for all I know. You know, we're given this illusion that, you know, Jews are a people, and they're good Jews, and it's a race, and I don't think that's the issue at all. I think the issue is are these Jewish values of usury and, you know, making money and waging wars. And it's just put under this guise of race when that's not really the issue at all. But I digress. And you're a man of good intentions, and you will find a workable system. But I think I've had an inkling of how the criminal mind works as well. And they're not going to let anybody get away with anything that's righteous and works, you know, unfortunately, because that puts them out of business. And like the mob, they want to tax everybody's efforts and do nothing in terms of wealth creation themselves. So you're talking to a cynic here.
Yeah, well, I guess you kind of come by that honestly. I mean, you have done quite a few videos that take on these tough issues. You've seen a lot of dirt in the world, and you know, I know it's really an unpleasant thing to have to do, and it can color your experience and your perspective, and you know, you're forgiven for being perhaps a little cynical here. But, you know, I mean, the whole purpose of you uncovering this criminality that's going on and describing it so well, which is what, you know, what you do very well. The whole purpose is to get people to be aware of this criminality, the felony activity that's going on, and to reverse that into a situation where we find people that are much more interested in stamping out injustice. They're much more interested in seeing things in the proper perspective and in the context. And I think your context regarding the tribe, Judaism, is perfectly appropriate. I know we might get accused of being somewhat less than honorable in pointing that out, but it truly is appropriate to look at the crimes that are being committed in the context of being pretty much always some sort of Judaic foundation to the whole thing.
At this point, yes. I mean, it's risen to the peak and crescendo at this point.
And I think people
international.
I think it's becoming pretty much self-evident. I think that the bubble has burst. I mean, I don't think that Israel is able to even pretend to be a country that is worthy of a sovereign relationship with other countries because of their behavior. Their behaviors, it appears that they don't even, well, I don't want to repeat myself, but they don't really even have the pretense of an honorable relationship with other countries.
I believe they're driven by Jews that believe in the Talmud, which in itself should be a right for anyone to do. But I do think that the government, that the policies, that the Mossad, that any institution of influence is actually run by people that follow the Talmud. And it's not something I've studied, so it's not something I know about in terms of its content or its belief system. But I think that is the kernel of what is orchestrating the reality that we're having to live through.
I think so, too. Getting an echo?
I'm just smiling. Sorry. You can't see a smile on a podcast, but your response made me smile.
Have you ever heard of Wolfgang Eggert? He's an author in Germany. He has written 9 books on hidden history, and he has an online petition that seeks to limit the apocalyptic cults around the world. These are cults that see the world in terms of an end time perspective, like a Christian Zionist or the Chabad Lubavitch cult and these different Judaic sects around the world. And what he says is that according to these Talmudic Jews, that the world was created in 7 days, and the 6 days God created the earth, and on the 7th day he rested. And they interpret this to mean that just as a person is born, they become an adolescent, an adult, and reach old age and die, just so with the earth, that the earth was never meant to live forever. It's like a human being, and we're nearing the end. We're nearing the 7th day, the 7th day of rest, which means that everything in the world will be completely destroyed, according to biblical prophecy. And a lot of people that are hip to this in the Christian sects don't really know that the source of it is actually rabbinical.
Yeah, well, I didn't know quite so much, but they do also believe in entropy. That if you leave things to nature, they'll all become unorganized and out of order and uncontrollable. And there's also some quote from the Bible on, you go out and you conquer everything there, the seas and the animals, and I really think it's all led us astray because people are invariably wishing to take everything at face value and be very dogmatic about it for some reason. Otherwise, it could be a philosophical, intellectual interest, but that's not the way it's manifesting.
Well,
I mean, it's a pretty serious accusation when you consider what entropy is, that things will become unorganized if you don't interfere. It creates a contempt for nature itself, like the reverse of the American Indian view of the world.
Ah, yeah. Now I understand what you're saying. Yeah, well, so the entropy of entropy is really what we're looking for here. Because have you noticed that a lot of times they use these double negatives? It's very hard to really integrate mentally a double negative. I'm trying to think of an example, but listen to a politician. A lot of times they'll say we're not doing this because we don't want this to happen, and or something like that. It's along those lines that you're saying. It's maybe some sort of artifact of their philosophical schooling or something.
If they just accept that, nature is actually knows best and we don't have to interfere with it, maybe we'd all be better off.
Right.
But there's no end to interfering with nature.
Well, we're nearing the end of the podcast, but I was wondering, have you ever taken the word, have you ever taken 2012, and we haven't had time to talk about 2012, if you take the numbers 2012, you first write down the 2, and then, but instead of putting 012 in a straight line right after the 2, if you were to take,
yes,
if you would just turn the page 90 degrees and make like a Jewish, like a Jacob's ladder of the other numbers, 012, and write that on top of the 2, and then turn that 180 degrees, what you see is the word Zion.
Wow. There was a lot of controversy here because the Olympics are going to take place in a few years in London, and the emblem actually has like Zion written inside it by innuendo. But I don't know if you've chosen to end the podcast on this theme. I don't have a pen, I have to confess, but I was visualizing it as you say it. You know, I also find it strange that the word Ashkenazi has the word Nazi in it. I mean, what a coincidence. But we're almost becoming Kabbalistic here. But 2012, be amazing to make it there, really.
I know. I hate to end the podcast on such a negative conclusion kind of thing.
Well, you shouldn't have mentioned 2012. In 2011, maybe we'll see the U.S. break up and all the troops come home, and then we'd all be better off.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not only lost the public court that you talked about, but it's lost the world's court. The whole world has lost faith in America, I believe.
Yeah, I think so too. Thank you so much for your time and for your tremendous insight on what's going on. And
I've had a delightful time with you. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. And keep up the good work. I enjoy your videos, and I really do think that you're informing the public and giving them some really great perspectives. And I think you know that. I think that the public has commented on your videos and they have given you the kinds of things that they've given you the kinds of comments that would lead you to believe that you are definitely on the right track with your videos and so forth. So I'm just saying, keep it coming.
Okay, I will. And it is quite encouraging to get some response and people looking at them. So we'll be in touch, I hope, and do more one way or another.
I'd love to. Thank you, and have a great evening.
All right. Thanks a lot. Talk soon, I hope.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. 108 Morris 108, our guest on Clarity Quest Podcast. Thank you for joining me, and please bookmark the page and come back while we interview more exciting guests and more exciting topics.